We do have an outline in your contact. If you want to grab that, you might find that helpful as we work our way through a passage of Scripture this morning. It's great to be back with you. We've had a couple of weeks break. I've had a little bit of treatment and free facelift and a few other things. And so it's good to be back with you and sharing with you as we enter into this wonderful season of the year of opportunity to talk about the Lord, as David's mentioned. I wonder if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I will have the scriptures for you, but there's nothing like getting familiar with your own Bible, as we encourage you to do through our journaling and our reading together. And I'd love at this point for us just to pray before we have a look at this brief passage of Scripture together. Father, I ask simply this morning that we would hear what you're wanting to say to us. Because we know that what people say and what others say is one thing, but what you say can often be another. And I just ask for the very distinct and real ministry of your Spirit in our lives now as we open our hearts and our minds to your word. I ask that you'd speak to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. How many of us want our kids to grow up and really mature? How many of you want them to grow up and be mature? Good, solid citizens who have got their act together. All right? A lot of interesting reaction there as we had a bit of a giggle. And I think we're all at various stages, aren't we? Many of us in that journey. But we all do want to mature, there's no doubt about that. Julie and I on Friday night just popped in, we're having a meal with one of the couples in our church, and just in the table adjacent to us was a couple where Josh years ago had played basketball with their son. And I spotted the wife and knew who she was, wasn't sure from the back whether it was the husband, and I didn't want to assume. And Julie strained her neck or craned her neck and said, "It's okay, they're still together." And so I caught the wife's eye and waved, and then we connected. And as they were leaving, it was just so thrilling. Dad said, "Thanks for those years of the sport," because we coached his son for a number of years. But James is now a flight attendant, and 2 weeks ago the daughter just got married, and the other daughter we see regularly on the media, and he was just puffing with pride, and he had to slip in where the daughter got married in a church because he wanted me to feel good and all of that. But it was just wonderful to touch base with a father who was bursting with pride about where his kids were in life. Now, that's the human dimension, isn't it? That's the human dimension. But the reality is our Heavenly Father yearns for that at a far deeper level for each one of us as His kids to grow up. To grow up and to mature, to become complete. The Bible talks about all perfect, the old King James used to translate it, in Christ. That we mature in our relationship with Jesus and in our journey with Jesus. Now, I know that our desire, once we've come into relationship with Jesus, is to mature, is to become a mature person of God, a man and woman of God. And the key to that, as I understand it, is that we've got to grow in our intimacy with Jesus if we are to mature. I want you to listen to the words of Paul. In the first week of our holidays, this was part of the reading. And God just really spoke to me and encouraged us in some of the directions that we're seeking to take in terms of ministry, because it would be our desire and our prayer that you would be increasingly not dependent upon ministers, not dependent upon your Bible study leader or the significant Christians in your life, but you would increasingly become dependent upon Jesus. And that you would mature in Jesus and grow up in Him. It's a very interesting passage of Scripture. I'd like to read it to you. Follow along from verse 10. "The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. I'd like to read it to you from the Message. All right? Follow along from the Message. Because as many of you know, I've been using the Message translation, Peterson's translation, as my base text this year, devotionally. But you've seen and heard it because God by His Spirit has brought it all out into the open before you. The Spirit, not content to flit around on the surface, dives into the depths of God and brings out what God planned all along. Whoever knows what you're thinking and planning except you yourself? Well, the same with God, except that He not only knows what He's thinking, but He lets us in on it. He also knows what we're thinking. And God offers a full report on the gifts of life and salvation that He is giving us. We don't have to rely on the world's guesses and opinions. And we didn't learn this by reading books or going to school. We learned it from God, who taught us person to person through Jesus. And we're passing it on to you in the same first-hand, personal way. I just want to pick up on that last verse this morning. That last verse that's there. We didn't learn this by reading books or going to school. We learned it from God, who taught us person to person through Jesus. And we're passing it on to you in the same first-hand, personal way. How many of you just love second-hand stuff? How many of you love second-hand stuff? I'm impressed. There's a few of you who love second-hand stuff. Our little Jordan, our little granddaughter, has found a new game. It's a wonderful new game. She plays it most Wednesdays. You see, what she does is she goes to playgroup and then she finds her way into ReThreads out the back. And for the last month, she's discovered two pair of shoes. All right, the first pair of shoes, her size, everything, wonderful. And she came running out to her mum and she came running out to us. It's a bargain. $2. $2. Now, twice she's come out. It's a bargain. $2. And she's running around in these shoes. And she just loves wearing them. Mum's loving because her budgeting's working really well. The reality is because she chose them, they're very special to her. The fact that they're secondhand doesn't matter. And I hope it lasts for her lifetime. It'll save many a man a worry. And the reality is that it's fantastic. But I can tell you, if I give you the choice between something that's brand new and something that's second-hand, those of you who put up your hand to say second-hand, what would you prefer now? Raise your hand if you would still prefer second-hand, if you could have the first-hand. If you could have the first-hand. Oh, there's one or two weird ones who are putting their hands up. I'm sorry, I don't understand that. Sam, you'll have to help me later and explain it to me. You see, I grew up in a family where I didn't get the second-hand stuff. I got the third hand. And particularly when it came to school gear. Now, it didn't last long, and it's all right, Mum. Mum's sitting there, and she's a little worried, but I'm not emotionally damaged by this, all right? I'm not scarred, and I'm not suffering, but the reality is that I did end up with third hand, and often they were long trousers that became shorts because there were too many holes in the knees. And there were all sorts of adjustments that had been made, or they were the third or the fourth patches on the knees because of the amount of cricket and football that us as boys played. But I can tell you, there was no comparison for me to when I got something brand new than when I got it after David, who'd had it after Ken. There was no comparison for me. I love stuff that first hand. Well, actually, I think God's put that in us. I don't think that's a bad thing. The reality is, He wants to relate to us firsthand. not secondhand, not through a mum and a dad, not through a spiritual parent, not through someone else. He actually wants to relate to us personally. Do you agree with that? He actually wants us to grow personally in relationship with him. That's his desire for us. He wants us to grow intimately on that basis. So my first truth that I sensed the Lord saying to me that day was that we need to learn from the Lord directly. Notice what he says. We didn't learn this by reading books or going to school. We learned it from God, who taught us person to person through Jesus, through Christ, through the Spirit. That's how we learnt it. And friends, often we can develop a dependency upon others when God is wanting us to develop a dependency upon him. And we need to listen to others. And we need to grow with others. But primarily our responsibility is to help you mature personally so that you are depending upon and relying upon Jesus for yourself. And some of you have a tough time. Some of you are in tough situations. But the reality is you're never alone, and in those tough situations, if you can develop your dependency upon Jesus, he is going to carry you through relational challenges where maybe a loved one, a husband or a wife, doesn't know the Lord, or maybe in an extended situation that is very tense. If you are growing personally and intimately with God, you're going to be able to get through. And this is what Paul's talking about in part. Now, how can this happen if we don't spend time with Jesus? How can it happen? I mean, can you imagine me? Please, can you imagine me? Don't worry about yourself at this point. Can you imagine me growing in relationship with Julie, with my wife, by me spending time with Julie's best friends? So I get together with Julie's best friends, the men and women in her life that she spends amounts of time with, and extended members of the family. But I spend time with them, but I never have any time for Julie. All right? Now, how do you think my intimacy with Julie's going? How do you think it's going if all I do is I learn about Julie through other people, but I never actually listen to what she's got to say directly? It's all second hand. It's all third hand. It's through other means. I mean, that's ludicrous. And to say that our relationship would be rocky would be an understatement if that was the reality. Can you imagine me growing in relationship with Julie by reading what Julie's best friends have to say about her? In other words, depending upon what others have received from Julie, rather than me actually hearing it from Julie or reading letters Julie's written to me personally. I mean, it's ludicrous to think. And yet that's exactly what we do with God. We can depend upon someone who's listened to God and prepared, and we can depend upon that as the key. We can depend upon devotional tools and insights that other people have received, and we can say that is the key, and we become dependent upon what other people say about God. When all the time, Paul is wanting to get across to the Corinthians, but I believe God is wanting to get across to us, there is no substitute for getting to know Jesus personally. Listening to the Spirit of God. Listening to what God is wanting to say to us. And collectively then, as a group of people, when you gather together, you begin to hear what God is saying to you and saying to us as a body, and there's a discernment, a fluid movement that can take place when a bunch of people who are hearing God actually are listening to God. You see, when it's concerning all of us, there's going to be a witness, a sameness about that as we operate together. I yearn for that. More and more I yearn for that. But an insight that I sense God might be saying, I put it out the test with the ministry team, I put it out with the elders, I put it out with others in the life of the church, and test it to see what the Spirit of God is saying, and on a Thursday night or wherever it might be, and yes or no. For me, the Esther time was an example of what can happen when there's a resonance with what God might have said or done. Because God seemed to give a special connection. It was put to test with the ministry team. It was put to test with the whole team. It was put to test with the elders. and now it was put to test with you, and we just sensed that was God. It's wonderful when that takes place. I want to give you just a couple of minutes, all right? A couple of minutes, it's okay. I'm not going to ask you to do anything with this yet. But I want you to think about, what was the last thing that you can remember that God said to you, or God spoke to you personally? What did he speak to you about? Have a little think about that for a moment. What's the last thing God said to you? I'll actually share with you the last thing that God spoke to me this morning, about 7:30. But what's the last thing that you sense God said to you through his word and through his spirit that impacted you? Okay, we might come back there later if we have time. Have you ever been in a situation where you've spoken to a person and you might have been talking for a little while and you've discovered that they actually haven't been listening to you? You ever had that experience? Julie and I have this problem when the cricket, football or basketball are on TV. And I can be talking to Julie and she just isn't listening to me. Well, at least I tried, all right? The situation is reverse, all right? But I've actually said through the years, and particularly recent years, I just say, look, I will talk to you at any time. I don't care what's on. But you have to make sure you've got my attention first. All right? If you haven't got my attention, I can assure you that if my eyes are on something else, that's where my focus is going to be. And sometimes I've just got to turn the sound off, or I've got to turn the TV off or whatever. And it's not often we do that. But there are times when it can be very frustrating because Dad or Hubby's not listening. It's a horrible thing, isn't it? See, one of the things that Paul says in this passage is he says, we've got to listen to the Lord with intent. We've got to listen to him intently. That's the kind of commitment that a husband and a wife make to each other. We've actually got to listen with intensity. And he says that in this passage of Scripture, that we've got to listen. And you don't learn without listening. At least I'm not aware that unless you listen to a book or listen to a teacher or listen to information, that's how you learn. Or you listen to the life example that you're in, that you actually observe it and take it on board. Learning doesn't happen if there hasn't been intense listening. And Julie has often said to me, I knew you weren't listening. She's actually told me something, but I haven't heard it. And I have tried to plead my innocence, but it doesn't wear. All right? The fact is that when someone is speaking to you, you've got to listen. We really do have to listen. Friends, I want to encourage you when it comes to your own personal time with the Master, with Christ, that you listen. Listen to what he's saying. Take time to listen. Take time to feed on the truths that he wants to give you, because you cannot learn without listening. You just can't do it. Third truth that I've sensed the Lord speaking to me about that day was that we actually got to share God's word actively. We've actually got to share. You see, we didn't learn this by reading books or going to school. We learned it from God, who taught us person to person through Jesus, and now we're passing it on to you in the same first-hand personal sort of way. And one of the things we encourage you to do is you hear from God, and God gives you a nugget of truth. One of the things that cements it in your experience is for you to verbalize it and to pass it on with someone else. And regularly what I discover when God has spoken to me, if I am open to his leading throughout that day, I'm able to share the truth that God has given me. And for some reason, strange isn't it, it seems often to have real application to a lot of other people's lives that day, or in the days that follow. Now, if I talk to you about Julie, second or third hand, that's just not up to scratch. But if I talk out of our relationship, it is fresh, it is real. Friends, I want to encourage you to hear the Lord. Now, I know we can hear the Lord through one another. But I think the weakness in the Christian church generally today, as I see it, is not enough of us are actually listening to the Lord. One-on-one. And growing in intimacy with Him. And my encouragement to you is to challenge you in that. Think about that something the Lord has taught you recently. I want to put this to test for you, all right? Other than a spouse, all right? So other than a spouse, and some of you are doing a very good thing in sitting with your spouse or your loved one, can I encourage you just to turn to somebody now, or maybe move to get with somebody quickly, and just share with them the last thing that you sense God speak to you about, all right? Let's have a time of encouragement, of mutual edification. And if you feel you haven't got anything to share, just listen to the other person. All right? Maybe what they're going to share with you is going to be meaningful and helpful. So can we find somebody quickly and share the last thing you sense God speak to you about? Okay, I'll draw you back in. It's quite possible that the most profound thing that was shared this morning has just been shared. I recognise that often that is the case when we're able to get up close and personal and share what God has spoken to us or what He's been revealing to us. you know, when we do this, it results in us maturing. It results in us growing up. When we learn to stand in Jesus and see ourselves complete in Jesus and we are hearing what He is saying and we are regularly in the Word. It's one of the reasons why we encourage you in the regular reading of God's Word. You don't have to submit to our program, although we encourage you to join us in reading the Word together. But read the Word for yourself. Feed on God's Word for yourself. That's the priority. And it results in maturity. This morning the Lord spoke to me in our daily reading out of Matthew 23. And I believe He was speaking just to this principle and the timing was perfect. Listen to what He says in Matthew 23, verse 8 and following. Don't let people do that to you. Don't let people put you on a pedestal like that. You all have a single teacher and you are all classmates. Don't set people up as experts over your life, letting them tell you what to do. That's dangerous. Save that authority for God. Let Him tell you what to do. No one else should carry the title of Father. You only have one Father and He's in heaven. Don't let people maneuver you into taking charge of them. There is only one life leader for you and them, Christ. Good word? That's from the Master Himself, so you can't argue with that, can you? It's what He's saying to us. So let me put this together. This is what I sensed the Lord saying to me that day. And I trust it's helpful for you. Learn from Christ. Learn from Jesus. Listen to Christ. Share the words of Christ and you'll grow up in Christ. It's a simple, simple principles. They are simple principles that come out of God's Word. Learn from Christ, listen to Christ, share the words of Christ and you will mature, you will grow up in Christ. Can we pray together? In the quietness of this moment, I just want to give you an opportunity to reflect to the Lord and to respond to the Lord and what you sense He's been saying to you personally. And you respond out of that. That's up close. That's personal. It's between you and him. Let's just take a moment to do that. For some of you this morning, what we've been talking about, you haven't as yet experienced, and yet there's a strange warming in your heart that you want to experience that. This close personal relationship with God. The reality is that Christ wants to come into your life. It's a miracle that occurs on a regular basis as people say yes to him and what he's done for us upon the cross. And when we say yes to him, and we say we're not going to live our life, but we're going to live the kind of life you call us to, and we come to you in repentance and faith, Jesus comes to live within us and become our friend. And by his Holy Spirit, he wants to guide us and he wants to teach us. And in the quietness of this moment, if that's your desire this morning, as people have been doing, reach out and say yes to Jesus personally and invite him to come into your life as your Saviour and your Lord. If you've said yes to Christ, I just want to ask you to do one thing today. I'd love you to see me before you leave so we can give you some literature and a Bible if you don't have one that can help you in your journey with Jesus. And if you desire, we'll have a friend, someone, a peer your age, come alongside you and just support you and help you grow and take your first steps in relationship with Jesus. Lord, I just want to thank you. As we began today, we spoke about our relationship with you and the freedom that we come into in Jesus. And I want to thank you that we've been able to journey together and celebrate some of the special things you've been doing in and amongst us as a people. And I want to thank you for your word and for its application to our lives. And above all, Lord, I pray and I yearn for these men and women and young people, that you'd help each one of us, Lord, to grow in our journey and in our intimacy with you. That Christ, by your Spirit, you would be our teacher and we would be submitting to you. I pray this in Jesus' strong name. Amen. God bless you. If we can help by prayer, I'd love you to come down. If you've made a decision for Jesus this morning, come and see me before you leave. At the right-hand end of your rows, if we can just pass down the care cards, you have an opportunity to fill those in. And it's just great to be able to share. Come tonight if you're able. God bless you. Enjoy a time of community.